don't feed me, because I know what I want. Please deliver me, that's all out of your soul. It makes you freeze time, staring in at yourself. It's time to step outside onto the path you once made.
Oh man, I missed it. I come that close to getting you like snorting eating sushi.
You want me to do it again? Because I'm doing it on purpose.
But that wouldn't be real. Dude, that's the loudest thing.
I am to please. You're welcome, internet.
So podcasting tonight. The first thing I wanted to talk about was what you just made. The maker thing you just made, that I posted a really funny thing on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere. If you see, it's like one of those short boomerang gift things.
And he finally got the boomerang app to work or whatever. I wasn't paying attention.
But tell her what you was doing.
Okay, so we are having the grand opening of our maker space at our main library in 2 weeks. So we're trying to come up with good hands-on activities that could kind of just draw people's attention and also be quickly explained, and somebody could step in and just do it, you know, without having tons of knowledge or time to do it, you know, just like fun interactive stuff. So some of the stuff we were looking at is Legos, Makey Makey. We're doing this thing called My Robotic Friend, and it's like a cup stacking game, but you have to like instruct your friends to do it, like using computer coding. And then also we wanted to test out squishy circuits. And I've never done squishy circuits before, so I wanted to do that ahead of time.
What is squishy circuits?
Okay, like so squishy circuits is basically you can use Play-Doh to conduct electricity. Like, you can use it to complete the circuit if you're building a circuit through the power source and then the light or the motor you want to run.
Is that the same things I've seen at Maker Faire where they make pianos with the
No, that's Makey Makey. That's Makey Makey.
Yeah, at Maker Faire, the last time we went in Orlando, they had this piano. It was hooked up to bananas, so you push the bananas and it made piano.
Makey Makey essentially can turn anything into like a remote control or a signal control for things. So like you could, I saw a really neat thing that somebody made where they made a floor piano out of Makey Makey and like tin foil and a tablecloth and duct tape.
Did they make it like the movie Big?
Yeah, it's like one of those big full size keyboards.
You know the movie Big, don't you?
Yeah. I know of it.
You know of it.
I've never seen it, but I know what you're talking about. Going back to our conversation about not watching old movies. But one of the other neat projects I liked on I think it's on the Makey Makey website, because they have a lot of ready to go projects too, so that you can learn how to use the stuff. Is an operation game, but it's a Homer Simpson one. And I think that they might have had him programmed to say dope, but I'm not sure. I don't remember.
Wouldn't a Homer Simpson operation game basically be just heart attack, heart attack, heart attack, heart attack? Because he's had like 30 of them.
God, that's the episode where shit got serious.
Well, I like how it was such a big deal they did the very first one of him having a heart attack.
And now he just casually has
them,
like,
has
in the middle
them, like,
of an episode.
Yeah, he has them, like, all the time now.
And then he's just like, oh, got it going again, you know. But, yeah, the thing I was trying to do was squishy circuits so that you can show how different things conduct electricity. So you can make Play-Doh out of flour, although regular Play-Doh actually does conduct electricity too. But you can make a more conductive one with, like, flour, dough, and lemon juice. And then you can also make one that is not conductive, so it's like the resistant one.
Is that the same concept as the old potato battery thing?
I mean, sort of. Like, that does show, like, you can use, like, a lemon as a battery, too. Like, if you stick a penny in it, like, you could conduct electricity from that, and, like, you're using the penny as, like, the way to complete the circuit. I think. I'm sure the internet will correct me if I'm, like, not sciencing right here. But, see, that's why I'm trying to figure this stuff out right now, because we're going to do these demonstrations, and I don't want to have it just be, this is my thing is, like, I really think that the making and makerspace stuff really belongs at libraries, but I don't want to put things out and just have it be an expensive toy. I want people to come in, especially the kids, like, I want them to come in and, you know, have fun with it, playing with it, but then say, like, well, why does it work, and why does it do this, and the how of it and everything. So I'm trying to figure out exactly how to get squishy circuits to work, and I did succeed with homemade dough from a St. Thomas University. If you just Google squishy circuits, it'll come up, the recipe for it. And then I also got a string of lights from the dollar store, and I ripped it apart, and I took the battery pack from it and stuck the wires from that into the Play-Doh, and then I took an LED and stuck it into the Play-Doh, and it worked. So the Play-Doh completed the circuit.
That's cool.
And I was super excited, and Brian took a video of me to be content on his stuff.
No, I just took a gif of. Well, I wanted to, like.
We just had a debate about content versus art earlier, so.
No, it wasn't versus art. I just love. I don't like the term. When people say, like, oh, my content, it's almost like when they say my brand, and it's like, oh, it just. Something irritates me about it, even though it's probably accurate by definition. Like, it just irritates me when people say it. Just say your art or your stuff.
Well, I think that's the thing, too, is, like. And it comes across, too, even with just regular people. You know, when we go on Instagram. And we want our photos to be seen by more people. So are we really just sharing our photos, or are we really participating in content management and creation marketing of a particular version of yourself?
It's like forever. I never put tags on, like, blog entries. I used to never, like, hashtag stuff or anything like that. Not because I was like, you know, I'm superior, I don't do it. I just never used to do it. But then I started doing it, and, you know, it created. Because people found my stuff,
and it created
traffic and conversation, and it made it more interesting and stuff like that. So, like, I can see people doing it and stuff. And in a way, you are a brand, especially like me when I'm self-publishing and doing stuff like it. I just don't like the term because it sounds too
it seems less fake. Authentic. Yeah, I guess that's part of it. But, I mean, even just an everyday person using social media, in a certain sense, your authenticity has gone away a little bit because you are sharing just a portion of your life.
Yeah, you wouldn't say so.
Yeah.
It's like
so
with
it's,
people.
It's have one always, of those interesting things.
People have always told me, they're like, man, you're so open on the internet. And I'm like, I'm not really.
No,
that.
She's really not.
I'm not.
Like, you don't even know the half of it, guys.
Yeah. Like, yeah, but so, like, the whole branding thing, it just irritates me
yeah.
a little bit.
But you craft a certain persona online, though, too. That's why, like.
But we do it at our jobs, too.
Yeah.
That's why you can have, like, work friends and not real friends. They're kind of just work friends. Is because you put on a certain persona at work.
Yeah.
It's totally different from your real
self. I think
also,
it's interesting in the age of social media is that, like, you know, are we sharing stuff or are we marketing ourselves? So it's kind of just an interesting.
But that's also, like, not a new thing because it's, like, almost the online dating thing. Well, people used to go to bars and meet people they didn't know and they would lie about shit, too, in bars and stuff. So. It's
oh, I'm not
the
saying that
thing.
It's new. I just think it's an interesting dynamic that through social media, like, we are crafting a particular self to, like, broadcast by. So, like, even though I'm not, you know, like, Kim Kardashian all over social media and, like, honestly, guys, you have to admit, like, she's a master of social media. Like,
or the people that runs
like,
her life.
It doesn't matter, like, whether or not you like her. Like, she's a master of it.
Yeah. Or the people that runs it.
Yeah. Obviously, yeah. Like, it's a full-time job to do people's stuff. But. Even, like, somebody like me, like, I'm a nobody, but I do, in particular, like, I will use particular hashtags because I want my stuff to get picked up and seen by people. And I've had, like...
Yeah, but you don't have, like a huge amount of content using that word on the
yeah.
internet.
Yeah, and I only have about 100 followers on stuff. And mine's usually, like, it's either, like, geocaching, hiking, or, like, nerdy shit.
Yeah.
And, like, my the only, like, really public social media I have is Instagram. Like, I have a Twitter, but I don't use it. And my Facebook's on lockdown.
You don't use your Instagram huge amount. Unless you go to like the Wizarding World or somewhere like that, then
but like my Facebook, like I use that only with people I know because I've had creepy people like.
But get back to like the maker stuff. So like y'all were going to do this as a program next summer probably.
Yeah, I also want to have a series of maker-based programs for kind of like 8 to 12-year-olds, something like that. We're still trying to hammer it out. But we want to come up with a series so that we can do one a week where it's very simple projects that they can dive into. One of them is going to be like the tinkering tech take-apart and like toy take-apart because that worked. I've done that like 3 times now, and it's worked super well.
We've seen that originally at
Maker Faire. Maker Faire
in Orlando. They had this huge, like a room full of like computers, and we walked by it, and all these kids were just having such a good time just taking apart.
Literally taking like a dead DVD player and taking it apart. And I've done that with my teens several times, and the most... Like, we just did a toy one, and I think they really loved that one. But before that, the item that they really loved taking apart was actually the 3.5-inch discs, like the flop, like A-drive discs, you know, like the hard ones.
Like a hard disk, not a real floppy disk.
Yeah. Like, not the B-drive ones that were huge, but, like, the little A-drive ones.
Do you know about B-drive discs because you're a military brat and you probably still use them in the military?
My dad's office had that when I was, like, 10.
The real, the actual floppy disk.
Yeah, the B-drive disk, yeah.
But yeah, those kids love taking
because, first of all, they'd never seen it before. Because their computers don't even come with those. Like, they don't even come with CD drives anymore.
Well, it's like the joke that's going around in a meme. It's like
somebody 3D printed a save button.
Yeah.
And that's totally it. And so, like, I have 13-year-olds that were taking this apart, and they're like, holy crap, this is cool. Look at this. And they took apart a VHS tape, and that was pretty cool. And then we took apart a keyboard. And it was really neat seeing how it's, like, very thin strips of circuitry, like, laid over each other. To get each of the letters.
Dude,
and stuff.
I was a master.
It was really neat.
I was a master at taking apart VHS tapes because I watched my Doctor Who tapes so much that they would break. So I would take them apart and have to tape them together. And of course, when it went through I could do it really, really well enough where it would go through the VCR and it wouldn't tear up, but there'd be like, you know, a messed up portion of it and stuff like that. But I used to take those things apart.
Well, and I think it's important as, like, that is a good way to get them thinking about, like, well, what's inside of these everyday things that I use? Like, because we took apart alarm clocks and DVD players and, like, all kinds of stuff.
And that goes back to the squishy circuits thing, ain't it? Is the fact that it's not showing you something that's finished. It's showing you the beginnings of how,
like,
to do
it's
stuff.
It's the how of it. Because, like, literally, you know, I just took apart a string of lights from the dollar store and used Play-Doh with it. And you could see a complete circuit just looking at, like, the string of lights by itself. But it's kind of neat to be like, hey, did you know Play-Doh also conducts electricity? And I was going to – there's another thing I wanted to try of a homemade battery where it's like you take tin foil and a paper towel covered in vinegar and it's supposed to be able to conduct electricity.
I come from a place where we thought it was science when we would fucking take batteries and stick them to our tongues. And remember those, like, those square batteries? You could stick it to your tongue and it would shock you.
I've done that. And see, like, my thing is, like, and, you know, I'm sure I'm not presenting all this stuff correctly, but, like, before I do a program like this, I like to test it out ahead of time. And even just with my craft programs, too, because I want to be able to troubleshoot stuff and be able to answer questions properly.
Well, you found programs. I've seen you, like, when you've done crafts before and you're like, there's no way they can do this.
Yeah, like, I try to test out my projects. I've gotten very lucky with most of my crafts. Like, I did do a crocheting thing that ended up, the girls that came to it were beginners, and I was stupidly like, oh, we could do this in one afternoon, and no, that did not happen. But the girls that liked it came back, like, every afternoon for over a week to try and finish their project. So that was really neat.
Mentioning Maker Faire in Orlando again, I rage quit a crochet thing. Remember, I just like,
no,
I was
no,
like, I'm not,
was,
I'm like,
that was arm knitting, where
whatever,
you, like, you use
done.
Your arms as the needles, and it took me a while to get the hang of it, but it was really cool.
I got so frustrated,
but
I went outside, I was like, I'm done with this, I'm going outside.
So, I loved Maker Faire, and I like going to different things, and I am not above stealing other people's ideas for my programs. Like,
well, that's what libraries and teachers kind of do that.
I believe in a crowdsourcing.
But that's what libraries and teachers do. It's not like you're going to write a book.
No, mostly
on
it's like everybody shares. Like, I'm part of a lot of librarian Facebook groups and Pinterest groups, and everybody just
I love it when
stuff.
You see her so often, though, some, like, teacher will write
they get
a book.
Butt-hurt.
They'll write a book. It's, like, crafting and stuff like that or something like that, and you're like, I bet you stole most of that stuff off, like,
off
Pinterest.
And stuff. Although, I remember back in the day, and by back in the day, I mean 2012. No, 2011. This was 2011. When myself and another librarian were talking about Pinterest to groups of librarians for, like, a way to get your program ideas. Oh, the shitstorm we started with that. Like, people went after us. They're like, how dare you use this? This is copyright infringement. There were some really out there comments about, like, the Mormons run this. I was really ashamed of these people saying this stuff. I was like, are you serious? Like, what do you got against Mormons?
Libraries is like
fast forward to 2016 and everybody uses Pinterest, yeah. But
libraries is one of those areas where, like, most companies don't mind you using it. But the thing about Pinterest, almost all of it's copyright violation stuff to begin with, because people are making money off most of that stuff anyway.
So
anybody who's making, let's say, Superman dolls and selling them for $80 a piece,
you're just lucky that DC's never gonna have to.
Yeah, they can't really complain about you taking their designs and making one for the library on the craft thing. I mean, come on.
That's an aside. I just thought it was really funny.
Just don't try to order your stuff from Amazon if you're going to make some.
Yeah, if you want to purchase things in bulk, like LEDs and batteries and stuff, like, I guess, if you have a makerspace in your area, I would find out from them where they purchase their things or ask around other libraries, because we tried to order some bulk LEDs and, oh, I was really excited. I found a knife switch, and I just want that because, like, of the look of it, but, everything was a freaking add-on item, so that
they got this new thing called add-on items, I guess.
It's not, like, new,
I've never seen it before.
I just don't order a lot off Amazon.
It's just totally stupid, and I got into it with the guy.
he was fighting them on Twitter.
I wasn't fighting them. I just told him it's stupid. Like, and they were responding to me. They said, like, well, on some bulk items, it costs us too much to ship on individually. It's like, then don't
but
list them individually.
But it's not even them shipping
then.
It. It's coming from a third party anyway, so I don't understand.
So the third party should not list it individually. That's bullshit is what it is, you know? And I told the guys, like, either list it bulk then, or don't charge people.
I would happily buy it in bulk, because that's exactly what I'm actually looking for, because I want to get programs lined up for next summer so that I have, you know, like, I want to do a paper circuits thing, too. So, I need a shit ton of LEDs.
If they wanted to do something like this add-on thing and say it's because a shipping bulk, then they should have a link automatically saying where you can get it in bulk. Otherwise, all they're doing...
Yeah, but they're not going to redirect you to a third-party website.
Well, that's what the guy told me to do in there.
I know, oddly
His response on Twitter was
like,
basically, go somewhere else.
Go buy it somewhere else. It was like, what?
And I told him, I was like, yeah, I'm going to go somewhere else, and I'll probably cancel my Prime membership because... Prime was supposed to, the main thing about Prime is supposed to be, like, buying and shipping stuff, and now they got so many rules.
I will say, though, when I needed my garden stakes for my story walk this summer, they did come pretty fast when you ordered those for me.
Yeah, and I ordered a mic, and it took me, like, four months to get it.
Yeah.
And by the way, it didn't say it took 4 months when I ordered the freaking thing.
But the best part of that story is that the mic on your computer works better.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
But, like, that was so frustrating.
You just have to laugh at it or you're going to cry.
And I told the guy on, like, Twitter, I was like, I can order a pack of stickers and you'll ship it to me, but, like, I want to order this random item and, like, you won't ship it to me. And, like, Amazon's always been very misleading about, like, what's Amazon. Like, it says what's Amazon and what isn't. But they don't go out of their way to tell you that.
Well, and they're also getting rid of list price on there, apparently. Like, they're starting to phase that out on a lot of things so that you can't tell, like, what their discount actually is. So,
yeah.
Whatever. Shop around is the lesson, guys.
Well, Amazon was that company that didn't make money for almost 10 years because their whole motto was, like, we're going to take over sales on the internet, and it doesn't matter if we make money because eventually we know everybody else will be out of business and we'll make money. So now they're trying to backpedal though and start charging people stuff, like the fact that where it used to be, what was it, used to be $20, I think, if you order $20, you get free shipping or something like that, and now it's up to almost $40 now.
It is $40
now. It's like $40 now, and they keep upping it more and more, and it's like, you know, it's just so much BS.
What I usually do is I actually do, like, Walmart or Target site to store, and I just go pick it up.
The only reason why I got Amazon Prime was actually for buying gifts for friends and stuff, because it a couple orders, and it probably pays for itself, but all the rest of the stuff is total BS. Like, the stuff on Amazon Video is so overpriced. Like, a lot of the TV shows are, like, $1.99 per episode, and it's like, some of the seasons end up being $60. Like, yeah. If you buy them all, I'm like,
this became,
that.
Like, a huge rant against Amazon, but basically, like, we were doing science today, and I was able to get the concept to work, so that was awesome. So,
and fuck Amazon.
Shop around for the stuff you need, guys.
Yeah, and she's right. Like, contact your local makerspace if you're making stuff. Most of them have open houses, because we went to some. They're really friendly, and they'll let you know about stuff and everything. And if you can, you know, drop them some money, because they got to pay rent for these places and stuff like that, and pay for stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how, like, other people run their spaces and stuff, but, like, ours is a membership fee. And
membership
they
fee.
They ask for donations.
They have something for sale. Buy a t-shirt or whatever they have. Because these people aren't, most of them aren't rich. They're doing this because they like doing it and stuff like that.
Well, that's kind of the idea. Is, like, when I try to explain making culture and makerspaces to people, it's the equipment is not what makes up the makerspace. It's the people there. Because you might have one space that the people are more interested in, like, Raspberry Pi and Arduino and, like, computer-based stuff. And then you might have another one where people are really more interested in, like, cosplay and making costumes and sewing and textiles
technically,
and stuff.
Most of the internet's a makerspace. Like,
you could argue that.
Self-publishing is considered a makerspace. I make my own artwork for the covers.
It's just very much, you know, like, user-generated ideas and user-generated materials and do it
content.
Yourself. And, yeah, content. But no, like, it's just the idea is shared knowledge, shared resources, coming together to share your enthusiasm about making things.
It's like YouTube videos, tutorials.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I use YouTube.
I tell everybody, like, if you don't know how to do something, just go to YouTube and look it up.
I've looked up so much stuff on, like, I use GIMP for all my photo editing. I look up tutorials on that all the time. I use them for other things, like writing things. Like, I find guides on, like, prompts you should do, stuff you shouldn't do, and all that stuff.
I use YouTube. I use it for a lot of different things. I actually use it when I'm in a mood of working out. Like, I watch a lot of YouTube workout videos, too, because I'm not going to buy them. But
people,
like,
ask me.
I can't afford to buy, like, a $20 video.
Yeah. People ask me all the time, like, why is YouTube the only thing I don't do? And I'm like, well, I don't like the way I look that well right now.
I would be so self-conscious.
Maybe after I get my new tees, I'll do it. But I actually don't like performing like that. I like audio better. And one of the reasons why I'm doing this is to get more comfortable doing audio. Because people have asked me to be on podcasts before, and I've not wanted to do it most of the time because I'm not comfortable. So this is going to help me doing that. But I think, yeah, like, podcasting and stuff like that, I've had an argument about with people two ways. Is podcasting art, which I think it is, because a lot of it's really good. I mean, one thing, you have podcasting that's actually radio dramas.
Really,
but
art is just broadly, like, if people are going out there and making things, doing things.
The other thing was podcasting considered maker stuff. And I thought, if you go to a maker fair, that you'll find everything, like, almost everything is. From picking locks to screen printing, they consider it
I'm
maker.
Still so sad. 2 years in a row, and I couldn't get into that lock picking class. Like, I just stuff
Dude,
kept happening.
I used to know how to do it when I was little.
I want
to
do it.
I actually sent away for a kit one time after watching Remington Steel.
Of course.
I love Remington Steel. I wanted to learn how to pick locks because it was a big thing in there. He actually teaches the secretary on there how to do it.
I want
to
know how to do this.
So I sent away with a kit that had a square cut out of the door handle from both sides, and then it had a lock picking kit.
I love that.
So you can learn. And I used to know how to do it actually, but I don't now.
I'm jealous. See, my thought is just, I feel like if it is creativity and you're leaning toward just trying to bring something new into the world and trying to, I guess, just trying to find a way to make the world a better place through making things, then I consider it making. So if you're doing art and you're trying to reach out to people, you're doing podcasts and trying to reach out to people, you're trying to make improvements to something to lower the cost of it, say, you know, like using 3D printing to make prosthetics and it's making them cheaper, like that's having a positive impact on people. So I just feel like it's a very broad, I'm open to a broad term.
Remember the Iron Man repulsor rope control thing?
Yeah. The guy at Maker there's a maker from Full Sail.
Yeah, he works at he's a teacher at Full Sail.
Yeah, and he made a 3D prosthetic hand for a little boy that looked like Iron Man's armor. It was really cool.
His glove, and it actually also functioned as a remote control for the TV.
Yeah. So the little boy could change the channel on people and stuff.
Yeah,
it was like a universal remote.
Yeah, he said he purposely made it where the boy could change the channel and torture his sister. So
So I consider that broadly, and like I love YouTube because if I'm confused about how to make stuff, because I notoriously do not follow, I don't read directions, I don't follow directions, but if I can see a picture of something, I'm pretty good about being able to recreate it. And if I can watch a YouTube video of somebody doing it, then like I got it, but I don't read directions. It's just not a thing that I do. I just can't do it. So YouTube is great for me because somebody's showing me how to do it.
I'm basically like that too. Like people are all the time asking me to explain like how to use GIMP or how to use Word or something like that in certain ways. And I'm like, I have no clue. I know how to do what I specifically do with it, but I don't really like go outside to just learn stuff for the heck of it. Like when I learn something new in GIMP, like look up a tutorial or something like that, it's because I got to a point where I'm like, I'd like to do this. Let me see if somebody knows how to do this.
Yeah.
So I don't like really go out to just learn all the broad stuff about it, which is probably not great that I don't do that, but I just like diving into it.
Yeah. And there's a certain part of that like play as a way to learn things. So you have like tinkering and playing around with it and learning through that. But also that is the exact thing about makerspaces is that people come together and they share a knowledge base. So you might have one person that is excellent at using a sewing machine and can teach people how to sew, so then they can make costumes. And then you might have somebody that knows how to do more of, like, the wearable electronics so that you can add lights to the costumes or you can make sensors or different things. So, like, it's just people coming together. The equipment's not what makes a makerspace, it's the people.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, speaking of, like,
that's also science, bitch.
The
it's
guy
awesome.
at our local maker group, he made an arc reactor thing.
Yeah.
Like, on
one of the guys from our local makerspace, he came to my library and did a talk, and he showed that he actually made a model of Tony Stark's arc reactor that he has in his chest. And the teens really liked that, because, like, the guy's talking, and then he, like, flips the switch, and his chest lights up and stuff.
They really
liked it.
Did I ever show you that cosplayer on Instagram that I follow? She made a cosplay of Tony Stark with that virus he had. And she's got
so like his veins?
Yeah, she's got an arc reactor, and then it's got like this thing going through him, and I think she used like some kind of glow-in-the-dark paint, so it like looks like it's vibrating.
Cool
looking.
I'm grossed out. Like, that sounds amazing, but like, I have a thing about veins and like, ugh. So, But yeah, I'm really excited that our makerspace is finally going to open. It's been a several-year project now, and we have a really awesome librarian that's dedicated to that. Like, she's the librarian for that space now, and she's been working really hard to get it open, and we've been trying to help her with what we can. And we're going to have an open house, and we're going to play with squishy circuits and make a makey-makey piano and have 3D printers running, so that's going to be pretty awesome.
How big of a 3D printer do they have?
They have two. They're, I don't know the exact specs, but they're, like, it's like a MakerBot one and then something else. I forget what she said it was. The newer one works a lot better than the MakerBot. The MakerBot had problems with the extruder, and it kept messing up and stuff.
Do you see where somebody made a motorcycle with a 3D printer?
I did. It wasn't functional, though, right?
No, I don't think so, but, like, somebody said it took like 40 some rolls of the stuff, and it was like $30 a roll, I think is how much it cost. and they made a full-size motorcycle out printing the parts.
I mean, you can make large-scale models and different, or you can make small-scale models to work out an idea that you're working on and then build it with whatever medium you use. I'm excited about, I got a project that I want to get is Adafruit had on Thingiverse a CAD model of a case for Raspberry Pi Zero, which I just ordered my Raspberry Pi Zero the other day because they were back in stock, so I'm super excited about that. I've been wanting a Raspberry Pi forever. It's a little mini computer, and it was a little cost prohibitive for me, but they have the Zero, which only costs $5 now, and I'm super excited about that.
Speaking of CAD, you know what? I know how to use a CAD. Well, I used to know how to use a CAD computer.
Cool.
Because when I went to college for drafting and design, they used CAD computers and stuff then, which was pretty cool.
See, I don't remember any of it,
but I like learning it.
I would really love to have more maker programs at my library, but it is a serious retraining effort. So I'm trying to do, what I try to do is have it based around programming, because we don't have a dedicated makerspace at my branch. So I try to do maker programming with my kids. And that's worked, like, doing one-off events that are different projects and speakers and stuff. So
that's cool.
We will see if in the future we get more maker stuff. Because I think my director is very receptive to that. So I think in the future we might be able to have more of that
stuff. And we'll probably do a lot more podcasts on, like, making stuff in the future. We're going to go to Maker Faire again this year, probably.
I bought our tickets. Yay!
Yeah, so we'll talk about that again.
So, yes. Rise above, Morty. Science.
Yeah. You need to have that as a t-shirt.
I want that shirt. Oh, I want the Pokemon Meeseeks one, too. I love Rick and Morty, guys, okay? I just can't even.
Before we get into Rick and Morty and have the rant, I said that I was going to start, like, promoting a podcast I like, why each one of these do. And the one I want to mention this time is called Geek Syndicate. It's been around for a long time. It's based out of the UK. It's a really good podcast. They actually have a couple of them, but the main Geek Syndicate is the main one I listen to. And it is so funny, the Geek Syndicate. And they're starting a YouTube channel. I think they just started it. So look up Geek Syndicate online. It's a really good podcast, and they got a lot of content and stuff on there. They've been around for like 10 years, so they're probably like back in the beginning of podcasting and stuff. And one of the hosts of it does this intro thing where he says the multiverse, and he rolls his R when he does it. So it's like multiverse. I can't roll my R, so I can't do it. So he does it, and it's really cool the way he does it, though.
I can't envision what you're saying. I'm
like,
sorry.
He rolls his R. Do you ever heard of somebody, like, roll their R?
But the R is in the middle of verse, so it would be, like, multiverse.
Yeah, he does that, like, really long in it. And it's, like, with a British accent, so it's really cool. And stuff.
Well, then it sounds nothing like what I said, but whatever.
But that's a really good podcast. Check it out, Geek Syndicate. It's on Podbean and probably everything else, because they're pretty well-known. They go to a lot of conventions and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool. And, of course, you mentioned my own stuff. Always check out 10universe.blogspot.com for all 10 universe stuff. Even though for this podcast, I keep forgetting to post the widget about it on the website. I keep forgetting to
do
that.
Brian, you're terrible at content management.
And go to zazzle.com/10universe to buy merch. And you can find me on Twitter at Hang of Wednesday. So, go on Hang a Wednesday and you see me rant against, like,
Amazon
or Taco Bell or whoever. If you scroll back a year or so, there was a big long rant in contact with KFC one time about their big old cookie thing. That I swear lasted like...
I forgot about the big old cookie.
It was like 20 back and forth because they got so mad that I called them out for not having a big old cookie, which I was just joking about, and they were like... And our cookies are regular size. I'm like, okay, you got regular size cookies.
You're
calm the fuck down.
Like their dick size or something, Jesus.
Oh my God. But yeah, you can go on there. And my blog is under thetrainingbook.blogspot.com, my personal blog, which doesn't get its own content that often and stuff like that. Just because, like, I don't blog that much anymore. It's like, I'm too busy. If... Like, right now, I mean...
Well, that ain't where it is anyway. It's Snapchat. Yeah. Get the fuck out.
Right now, I'm in the middle of the next middle grade book, 10 Universe middle grade book, coming out in December, and it's done, edited and everything, and I'm working on the zero draft, which I call the notebook draft right now, of that, so I have a lot more free time, So I'm doing this stuff, but I'm not blogging, really. But I'm on Instagram, Facebook, what else am I on? Tumblr. You're probably not on most of those.
I have Tumblr and you probably Facebook haven't used it, but and Instagram and Pinterest and Twitter. I
never use them.
Only use Facebook, Pinterest, and Instagram.
I love when every so often because, like, you know how, like, an old SMS messenger days you had stuff sent to your phone to let you know when certain people updated their Twitters, which I still have some of those because this is the first smartphone I really ever had, which is a piece of shit, by the way. It keeps messing up. Whatever. But I used to have those. So every so often, I'll get one from Mars Twitter. It's like once a year, and it's usually like Mars trying to do a contest to win something. And that's
pretty
the only one you ever. It's like once a year, she'll be like trying to win a Funko or something like that.
Yeah, or I stalked Neil Gaiman one time, too, when he was in Melbourne. So
that's when he went to Penn & Teller or something like that.
Did not get a response. Much sadness.
No, you were like, let's go hang out behind the theater and see if Neil Gaiman comes out. And
that's not weird.
And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that.
It's okay, though. We got to meet him, like, in a legit setting, so.
Yeah, I was nervous enough that time. I felt like I was going to throw up.
That was so much fun, though. Ah, he was so cute. He was adorable.
He's really enjoyable.
I just like him a lot. He's
and
fun.
We also got to see him and Amanda Palmer at their Valentine's Day concert, which was really good.
I love them.
But I don't know how we got on this. We'll end this right here, I guess, because, like, if we keep going, we'll just go
rise forever. Above, Morty.
Rise above. Zion.